Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to our show of Wealth Makers and Dream Makers. We are thrilled to be back in the studio today with a new episode of the Zandbergen Report. As your host, I'm proud to bring in the movers, shakers, and difference makers who are passionate about sharing what they have learned and what you need to know today. Today, I am pleased to have in the studio is my partner, Letitia Bourbon.
Did you change the intro?
Yeah, he made. It's all about makers this week.
I like it.
It's been 2 years and she's like, hey,
is that
different?
No, you really? This is brand new.
It's brand new.
I pay attention.
And I like that first line because I think that's really what you guys do. It isn't that you just wealth makers, that you help people take what they have and make something of it. But it's dream makers because once you make enough wealth, once you are stable, then you are able to dream.
Dream.
So
that's
great. Right.
Love it.
So that's a work in process, but not bad, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows.
I came running in.
They don't even know that she was here 10 seconds before we went on the air.
Heels in hand, running through the parking lot. It's raining here.
Yeah. Great. So, Paul, you know, every once in a while, we do have to get serious.
Yes.
And we talk about something that's very financial and very serious. And as luck would have it, we had some new laws come into play. And we have something called the SECURE Act. So, Paul, SECURE is actually an acronym. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And before you tell me what it stands for, when you told me today's show, I had to look it up. Because here I am of that age range. It has to do with, you know, aging people and when you take money out and stuff here. And I don't think that's really been in the news. I haven't heard anybody talking about SECURE Act. I don't see it on the front page of the paper. They're talking about other new laws that have taken effect, but that's not number one on the list.
Well, you've got to change the papers you read.
I think so, really. But am I mistaken or did I just miss it? I think it's a big change, but I don't think it's been well documented or well discussed. So I look forward to it today.
I think it's been more publicized in our industry and in our industry publications than it has been with the general public.
But I wonder if your general clientele is as aware of it as you guys are. I mean, I know that's the purpose of today's show to teach them, but yeah.
We're working on it. And today's, we're just going to scratch the surface. We have an attorney coming in about a month to get really deep on some of these. But the kind of the higher level we're going to talk about today, which is how it affects retirement plans.
But just to throw out there real quick. It passed through Congress in mid-December. So it's not like they finalized it at the end of December. So this is a new law, and it literally just took effect in January 1. So at the end of the day, you're probably not hearing it as much as because they just passed it through, and now it's just now finally taking effect.
That must be it. But there are certain laws, not to verge into another murky area, but the change to the independent contractor rule. Oh boy, we've discussed that one like crazy in here. Yeah.
That won't be under today's subject because that's a show on itself, and that's a different type of attorney that will specialize in that.
Right. So that one's got a lot of play. The SECURE Act has not been one that's been well discussed. I don't think anybody's discussed it yet. So you're the first.
Yay.
All right. So Tish is actually going to run most of the show today, but I'm going to start with a quiz to you, Paul.
Okay.
All right.
I love quizzes.
So
pop quiz.
You made mention that you do have an IRA. We're not going to talk about it, whether it's inherited or not, but we'll go by old law because you haven't even heard the new law yet.
No.
So what is the age that you have to start taking money out and start pay the government there?
I believe it's 70. That was the old rule.
So super close, but you're going to, that's a no.
Oh, really?
Okay. Didn't you quiz me about a month ago and you had that great sound effect
the buzz,
the nose?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
right
that's
here.
A no.
The buzz, that's a no.
You got to buzz yourself.
There we go. All right.
So the exact age is very, very odd, 70 and one half.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So the new law raises that to age 72.
So you can wait to 72 to take some of it out.
Yeah. And there
no,
is...
No, but wait. Let me rephrase what you just said. You have to start taking it out at age 72.
You can wait to 72 until you have to start taking it out.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you got to take it out sometime. Used to start at 70 and a half. Now that's been delayed. What's the idea behind that? You can just keep it in there without paying taxes for a little longer?
Correct. And actually, the purpose behind that, we think, it's a balance because what the IRS giveth, the IRS also taketh away. So that's kind of a give me. And we're going to talk about some things that maybe aren't quite as great for the consumer and the investor.
So do you want to say what the definition of the SECURE Act is?
Oh, I didn't answer your...
No.
Yeah, thanks right. for...
What's the acronym stand for?
All right. Setting every community up for retirement enhancement.
Ooh. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There must be a department in the government that comes up with these. They sit there and say, all right, we got a new law. Come up with something. Let's see. We're going to call it... Everybody loses? No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
See, we've talked about it before, but there's a retirement account called the SIMPLE, which is an acronym, which is really, at the end of the day, not that simple.
Yeah, it's kind of like today.
All right, Tish, where should we go first?
SECURE Act.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that everyone knows, big picture, that the new changes are pretty much going to affect everyone. We're talking if you're just starting to retire, it's going to probably affect you more. If you are elderly and you are going to be passing your money down to your children, it's going to affect estate laws. And if you are a retirement, if you're a business owner, it could potentially affect you as well. So I've pretty much described almost everyone, anyone who's looking towards retiring, and the major changes are to retirement accounts. So like Bart said, a big change is to the RMDs, which stands for required minimum distribution, and they used to be at 70.5. And now they're at age 72. So as of January 1st, 2020.
Okay, hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So when the person dies or when the beneficiary
we're just talking about
regular IRAs. Never mind. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, so I'm going to make it clear real quick.
Very sorry.
On RMDs, so required minimum distribution. So let me take a step back. So that's basically an IRA account. And when you turn... like Bart said earlier, 72 now, then you have to start taking a required minimum distribution from your account. And so...
And you're going to tell us how much?
Or? No, I'm not. Because it's a whole formula that the IRS sets, and it's based on the account balance the year prior. So on the 12/31 of the year prior, that's going to, when I say 12/31, the last day of the year, that sets the value that they have to use based on that formula to take money out. It's complicated.
And where would you find this formula? How would you know how much to take? Because Bart alluded to it. I actually inherited a little IRA, not a lot.
Hold that thought on inherited. We're going to go there because that's a great point. I want to add to that.
It's a different formula.
Yeah. So as far as the traditional IRA taking money out, I want to add another element to that just to be aware of. So each account has its own formula. So that means, say you have account at XYZ Bank with an IRA, that will have a formula, and then you have another account at another bank, that'll have another formula. But at the end of the day, you have options to aggregate them all together to get a total.
The banks have their own formula?
Let me clarify. So it's the same formula, but it applies, it's pro rata per account.
Great.
And the factors of the formula are year-end balance, age of the IRA owner, life expectancy, and then an IRS factor. And it's the math of all those things that will determine what your annual distribution will be for that year.
So it's a great time, if you're getting close to retirement, to reach out to your advisor, and they can kind of review your accounts with you and just make sure that you are up to date.
So, yeah, that's the answer to your question, Carl. So either your advisor or your bank or your custodian, wherever the money is, they have the formulas internally, and they can give you that number.
Because until you mentioned this today, because I just turned 64, and my dad died 5-6 years ago and left, I don't know, it's $25,000 or $30,000 in a IRA or something. And so that switched to my name, and it shows me as the beneficiary, shows him deceased and me the beneficiary, and it's just sat there in some account earning, I don't know, 2% or something here.
Okay.
And I didn't think it had to come out. It doesn't have to come out until I'm 72 now.
So that's a great point. So the stretching rules have now also changed. So because that already... When did you inherit that IRA?
6 years ago. So my dad was in his 90s when he died.
Okay.
And he was taking somebody, so there wasn't much left. He'd been taking it out for 20 years.
Okay.
And so when he died, there was, I don't know, I'm going to say $25,000 left that he hadn't taken out. And that went to me, and so I had to put it in my name.
Right.
So it's still, there's an account, and it still shows, you know, his IRA, him deceased and me as the beneficiary of that IRA, and it just sits there. It's just my little
and you
cash
should be
account.
And how that go ahead.
Okay, so you are subject to the old law, Paul. You have three choices. Your first choice is you could take it all out in lump sum.
Door number one.
And then pay your taxes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You could defer it all for 5 years. And then as long as at the end of the fifth year the balance is zero, you could do that. So you might be bumping up into that.
Oh, because he died 6 years ago.
Okay, so...
So was I supposed to start taking some of it out?
I'm not going to say that you are subject to any jail time or anything. But there,
those are one of the two options. There's one more option.
Yeah, there's one more option for you, and it's going to be different for the new, for people in this year. The third one is you could amortize it over your life expectancy. So every year, there's another formula where you take out a chunk as long as it's equal installments over the rest of your life. You might be past that option.
No one ever told me this. No one ever sent me anything or did anything. I wouldn't have. I just assumed it's now mine, and so it's. I have till I thought 70, and then I know they changed.
It'll follow your age. So that's a good point. But now let's pretend that we're fast forwarding. Say something happened, and you inherited this IRA today. Okay, today, not last year, today. And so what would happen now under the new rules is you would have, and since this is not your spouse, this is your father, that now you have 10 years to make sure that all of the RMDs are taken out within a 10-year span.
So you have 10 years to take the money out, Paul, if you were to inherit it in 2020 or later.
Today, under the new rules, got 10 years to take it out.
Yeah, and actually, I need to word that. I was corrected the other day. Not if you were to inherit it. If the owner dies and after January 1st, 2020, then the new laws apply.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. So under the new rules, there's no RMDs during those 10 years. Instead, the entire IRA balance must be emptied by the end of the 10 years. So your beneficiaries.
And if it's not, what happens?
It's
a penalty or something?
Heavy penalty.
But you have 10 years to do it. So you have some tax planning ideas. So for example, say you are going to retire in like 3 years, then you can plan it out that you maybe start taking that money in those 3 years. So there's a lot of different strategies, and you're going to start hearing this from estate attorneys and advisors, that they want to review that with you when it comes to planning and different ways of doing that. So it is something that you'll start hearing a lot more frequently.
Now, so am I the only one? Again, all of this falls on us poor individuals here. Nobody called me up and said, "Hey, you know, here's the rules or something. You've got this money." It's just I thought it's mine now. It's my IRA, and I thought it was. I didn't know it had to be withdrawn or done anything. I know ignorance is no excuse, but the bank or the place it's held, don't they have to tell you something?
And most likely, this is all new, right? But you are going to get a stack of papers, and in that stack of papers, they are definitely going to share with you disclosures and information. And so that's why you work with someone like us that will walk you through that and help you through that. But not everyone is going to tell you, you know, verbally what's going on. They might just send you a letter, and it's within the information of the plan changes.
Unbelievable. All right. So one more example of ignorance costs you here.
But you want to know, there is another exclusion, just to let you know with that. Oh. So if, say something happens and say your wife passes away and she has an IRA, you can still continue under the spousal to maintain the RMDs.
So that
over
doesn't
your
have
lifetime.
To be taken out? Yeah. Right.
You have to take out the RMDs over your lifetime. So you'll have that exclusion still. So that's nice.
Wow.
There's a few other things that will be taken in consideration. So... And there's like the surviving spouse, which I just said, a minor child up to a majority, but not grandchildren. And if you have a disabled individual, and then it has to be disabled under the IRS rules. That's really important. And chronically ill individuals, And there's a couple other little ones that they have under their exclusions. So the older stretch rules will still apply to the ones that I just listed out.
So Tish just said a word that's kind of a buzzword. Paul, you may or may not have heard this over the time. Those IRAs were once referred to as stretch IRAs because you could stretch out the distributions over your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So the new terminology is stretch IRAs do no longer apply except in those isolated sentences.
I can't be the only person that listened to this day. You guys are even struggling trying to remember all the different variations. It's a new rule and everything to it. What's the intent of this? What was it supposed to do? Give you more flexibility, less flexibility? Who knows? What was any idea why this change took place? Just because it was time to change something?
I think it goes back to, well, the marketing, of course, is it's going to be better for us as citizens and investors. But if you really dive down, I think if you look at just the balance of those two things, okay, now you can wait till age 72. Okay, so the IRS maybe loses some money for a bit, right? Or it's deferred.
2 more years.
Yeah, 2 years. Well, it could be a big thing when you're talking about trillions of dollars.
Yeah. Right.
And on the other hand, we as investors or citizens have less time now to pay the IRS the taxes due on the IRA. So I think there is a balancing act,
which now.
I haven't done the math or the economics, but I got to believe that the government is in favor.
If you right, I'm sure they figured it out. So if you do, many of us are going to live to be 80s, 90s, beyond, or whatever. Here, we wanted to stretch it out into that period of time. Now you got to take it out quicker.
Correct. Right.
Meaning you got to pay the taxes on it. Right.
Right. And let's just look at the fundamentals of that. That might be a burning question as to why does it matter? What do people care? Well, the kind of a fundamental of investing is defer, right? If you can defer your taxes, you have time to earn money on the money that you would have paid taxes on. So generally speaking, the longer you can defer, the better. And so they've removed some of that time period where we can continue to defer.
So for example, if an IRA owner dies in 2020 and leaves their IRA to their grandchildren, no matter what age, will be subject to the 10-year payout after death unless the grandchildren qualifies for a disabled or chronically ill. Most likely, those will be listed in trust.
So the government's going to get their money faster.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So these are all new rules, right? But at the end of the day, this is some time to go back and relook at your state plan. Maybe it's slightly dusty. Maybe there's new rules, new regulations that are in place that maybe it's time to kind of make some changes. For most people, this isn't going to affect them. This might be affecting their children or their grandchildren, how they are going to plan going forward. And ironically, we had a client ask us already, hey, how's this going to affect them? We explained the rules and then it was quite funny. They're like, oh, well, you know, they are getting a nice inheritance.
I'm not going to worry about them. They're getting a bunch of cash.
Yeah,
they can figure it out.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I mean, everyone's going to have a different feeling behind this. And then we're here to help come up with some strategies to help mitigate that and really make sure that what their true goals are still being able to be realized through some really good planning.
So the other thing that we're continuing to look at is what's happened, what's in place, and what we have heard through the grapevine might be happening or what's being proposed. And one of them is this little kind of unknown, what we called
Roth.
So we call it the kind of the back door into a Roth IRA.
Do you know what that is, Paul?
I know it's a different kind. I don't know what the difference between a Roth IRA and a regular IRA is. I know there's a difference, but I don't know.
So let's pretend my husband and I make too much money to contribute to a traditional IRA. And let's pretend that I'm 55 years old. So what I do, and I'm still working, what I do is I contribute my $6,000 into a traditional IRA, and then I get to pay my additional $1,000 for catch-up because I'm over 50. So that's $7,000, and I deposit it into an IRA. And then I convert that into a Roth IRA. And that by doing that, you pay a minimum.
Do you wave your hands? Or is there some magic thing you have to say or something?
Yeah,
Put your advisor through a lot of work.
Yeah, we jump through hoops and your CPA jumps through hoops and then we get it taken care of for you. But it is a strategy that is, you know, it's fine to use as of now, and we still utilize it and our clients utilize it. So it's if someone wants to be able to maximize how much money they have in their Roth right now, that's what they like. That's one strategy to implement. And people, why would people like to have more money into Roths? Because as of right now, they're not having to take out, there's no requirement to take out those Roth funds.
Ah, so wait. you can have that in there and defer the taxes longer on that one.
There's one more benefit. So, Paul, you asked, hey, what's the difference between the IRA and the Roth IRA? So the Roth IRA does not get a deduction going in, so you're not going to save taxes today.
Mm-hmm.
But everything in the Roth IRA grows tax deferred, if we're using the right terminology.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes time to take the money out, whenever, no mandatory, all the money comes out. Paul, ready for this?
Ready? Drum roll.
Tax-free.
Ooh.
Tax-free.
So all that growth over the years, you know, conceivably 10, 20, 30 years,
yeah,
you could double, triple, quadruple your account. And
you don't pay tax on it? There's taxes. No capital gain. There's nothing else that goes in one way.
And
well, I like that
there's
one.
There's only a few ways you can get into a Roth. And so that's one way you get to a point with your income that you no longer qualify to contribute to a Roth traditionally. So then that's why some people use this strategy to be able to get into it. And sometimes people have access to get into it, even though they have more income with their 401k at work. Their work might provide a Roth provision, and then they're able to contribute to a Roth.
And it sounds like clearly what they're trying to do is, because people haven't saved, most of us, enough money to last 20, 30 years. So they're trying to encourage people at some point to put more into savings. And the benefit is it accrues interest. It accrues tax-free, right? And the Roth thing.
Well, practically it does. But as professionals, we have to say it properly, which is it accrues tax-deferred and the distributions are tax-free. Net outcome is the same, Paul, but we have to clarify for those who are
compliance.
Checking compliance.
Got it. All right. Keep you compliant.
Something else that's sad. I'm sad about it because I am still young and I have many more working years. And so something else, this is not something that they've taken off the table yet, but something that they're considering and they've been kind of throwing out there is limiting the amount of value that they allow you to deduct with a traditional IRA or 401k. So say I want to max out my 401k this year under a contribution and I'm going to put in $19,000. Right now I'm able to deduct that full $19,000, but they're talking about limiting that on your taxes.
What?
I know.
You guys are going to pay
for
You guys are going to pay for our sins one way or another here, that's for sure.
You know, it's not fun news, but they haven't done it yet, but they're talking about it. So just, I would say, if you have the ability to scroll away as much as you can now before some of these laws change, do it. I'm not saying it's going to change, but, you know, it's definitely conversations that they're having.
How often do you discuss this stuff with your client, or how often do they, if they don't have active people like you, you guys are actively handling it. Your clients are covered, but most of us have got, you know, Joe somewhere that we see once a year, and he may or may not bring this up, Joe or Sally here. Should we be discussing this with them once a year, twice a year, three? How often do you go through this stuff?
Every time there's new laws, you want to make sure that it's in front of every client. So, you know, we do a quarterly newsletter to all of our clients of updates, and this will be part of our newsletter, and we will tell our clients how these laws will affect them generally, and then we will call for them if they haven't heard from us recently, which most of our clients hear from us all the time. But if they have specific questions, we want to make sure that they're coming in and we're helping them work through those strategies.
Well, that's one more reason why everybody should get in touch with people like you. How do they reach you if they want to reach and get good advice, not the crummy advice I've been getting here?
Well, I'm going to give you my email and Bart's email, because you can always get us on social media, but if you really have specific questions. We're not going to go emailing back and forth on that. We're going to call an appointment, have you come in or over the phone and really discuss what's going on so we understand your whole financial situation and be able to really give some really good advice. My email is Letitia@optivestinc.com. That's Letitia at Optivestinc.com. And Bart's is the same, but it's Bart@optivestinc.com, and that's Bart@optivestinc.com.
And well, I want to be with the money makers and the dream makers here.
yes.
All right, be with the problem makers. That's right. What I've been with too long here.
We have more.
We have so much more, but this is going to be a theme for
next week we should definitely finish the rest of them because there's more changes. And Paul, you're going to hear more about what's going on in the.
It makes these all the more urgent. I know many of these shows are fun to listen to, but there is an urgency to listen to some of this stuff too because these laws are confusing.
Yeah, and they affect you, so it's good for you to be able to tune in and hear what's going on firsthand.
All right, Paul, Letitia, thank you so much for contributing and running the show today.
Yay! Thanks for letting me run in late.
I feel like I got to take a back seat today, which was fun. I want to thank everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Birbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.